Dave's already referenced it, but I have enjoyed how we've been going through Thessalonians and we've almost been like passing a relay baton along. Dave kicked off the series, passed it over to Jamie, really pushing in further last week and giving us some really helpful content. And now this week it's back to me, and then I'll pass the baton back on to Dave next week. I don't know if you've managed to catch all the talks. If not, then like grab them in a podcast and have a listen, or even take 15, 20 minutes and just let yourself sit and read through this letter. Actually, sometimes reading something in a chunk just helps us understand it a bit more, especially when we're going through it in little sections. So today, the section we have before us, just five verses. It's six sentences, and it's at the very end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. And I have to confess, when I first read the passage, I thought to myself, Dave, what am I going to do? But actually, I think as I started to read it, I knew it had something for me. And probably that's where always it starts, isn't it? I started to notice things. I started to notice the type of the text. I started to notice what Paul is pointing us to. And actually, I think even before I could have articulated that, I knew there was something deeper within this, and I couldn't quite appreciate it on first look. And I had to let these verses settle on me. I had to give, if you like, time for my gut to catch up with my head and my heart. I don't know if you like going to art galleries. I love going to art galleries. If I'm in a new country or a new city, it's one of the first things that I will try to go to and get a walk around. I love it. I find it incredibly stimulating. I love just taking time to wander around. I don't know loads. And I think actually in friends who are artists, I begin to appreciate that's okay. What am I noticing? What am I seeing? What impact is it having on me? And often a piece will catch my eye, catch my heart, and I'll often just sit and look at it, or walk around it and take it in, give myself time to take it in some ways actually imprint it in my memory, because I want to hold that painting, that sculpture, that piece. I love also afterwards having wee mementos of some key pieces. So I might grab a postcard from the shop, or if I can take a photograph, I might take a photograph of an angle or something that captures me. Sometimes when we engage with the Word of God, we can't notice it all on first reading. Sometimes we need to let the words settle. And so alongside what we will explore here together this morning, could I invite you to carry these six sentences with you this week? Perhaps make them your screensaver. Perhaps write them out in your own words and keep them in your wallet or your diary or your notebook. Perhaps stick them on the fridge. What might you notice if you allowed yourself time this week to just look and relook and relook? What might you notice if you gave yourself space and time to consider? I'm not always good at this. I can be impatient, but sometimes I need the slow marinade. So let me read to you this morning the section we have at hand. I don't know what translation you tend to go to, but this morning I'm going to use the message to start with, and then I'll use a wee bit of the message in the NIV as we unpack it further, because I think the message captures a sense of love with which Paul speaks, and a sense of how God works. Paul's prayer is simply that God would work. It's not that the Thessalonians would. That comes towards the end. He's asking for God to work. Let me read to you the words from the Message translation. May God, our Father himself, and our Master Jesus clear the road to you. And may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. May you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God our Father, when our Master Jesus arrives with all our followers. One final word, friends. We ask you, urge is more like it, that you keep on doing what we told you to do to please God. Not in a dogged religious plod, but in a living, spirited dance. You know the guidelines. We laid them out for you from Master Jesus. God wants you to live a pure life. May God our Father himself and our Master Jesus clear the road to you. May the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. May you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God our Father, when the Master Jesus arrives with his followers. One final word, friends. We ask you, urge is more like it, that you keep on doing what we told you to do to please God, not in a dogged religious plod, but in a living, spirited dance. You know the guidelines laid out for you from the Master Jesus. God wants you to live a pure life. Will you join with me this morning as we journey through this section? Will you allow the parts that God wants to press onto you do exactly that, press on you? And would you let the things that only God can do remain exactly in his hands? Let me pray. God, will you speak to us this morning? Will you impress on us the things that you wish to? And let us give you space to do the things that only you can do. Amen. It's an interesting section. And as I read around the context a wee bit, I felt like it's a bit like a sticky, this section. It's like he's underlining some key points. It's like, three bullet points and then a PS. But before we dive into the words and sections of this, I just want to step back and notice the type of text we have here. And what we have before us isn't a narrative or an exhortation, but it's a prayer. It's not unusual to find prayers in the Bible. It's not even unusual for Paul. Paul uses them all throughout his letters. But it's worth noting because it perhaps allows us to engage in this a little bit differently. If we look at the section that is a prayer, it says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when the Lord Jesus comes to look at the holy ones." That first line as it begins, that very first sentence, is actually a conclusion to the huge narrative that was across chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the letter. Paul restates his concern of the letter so far, his long absence from the Thessalonian believers and his desire to see them again. I love the tone of this. He just loves these guys. And it leaks out all across these letters. He deeply cares for these guys. But it's the next part that I actually want us to focus a little bit more of our attention on and consider a little more, because these prayers are actually signposts to things he's going to pick up later in the letter. Love that would increase and abound and blameless with regard to their holiness. Paul talks about these themes a little bit more in chapter 4. Now, don't worry, Dave, I'm not going to steal your thunder for what's coming up in chapter 4. But actually, because the section that we're reading isn't teaching, that's coming. It's a prayer. And I think actually that is crucial. I think that's crucial for me to get my head around, especially before I think and respond to the teaching in chapter 4. Prayer is in its essence communicating with God. But in this prayer, Paul is not simply recounting things to God. He is seeking. He is imploring God to work. He is recognizing that there are things that only God can do. And so he begins not with an exhortation to the Thessalonians, but seeking God. May the Lord make your love increase. May he strengthen your hearts. That phrase, "may the Lord," struck me, and it got me thinking, what role does God have in my life? What role does God have in your life? If you were to chat with a really good friend and describe the transformative power of God in your everyday, how would you talk about it? am I availing of the goodness that God ushers in? Are you availing of the goodness that God ushers in? Am I letting him work? Are you letting him work? These aren't easy questions. But as I've been sitting with this passage that we have before us this morning, it has got me thinking, am I seeing his transformative power in my everyday? Am I seeing his transformative power every day? Are you? Are we? Every day. God, I need you to work in me. I need you to make my love increase. I need you to strengthen my heart. Sometimes in our pathways as disciples, we rightly talk about the things that we need to do, the disciplines, the rhythms, the decisions. And yet something in this prayer reminds me of the transformative work that only God can do. And as I'm trying to allow this passage to disrupt me, I'm holding two things in tension. This is God's work. There is nothing I can do to make love increase or strengthen hearts. I will need the transformative power of God. But I also don't think that God forces himself on us. So how open am I to God's working? And might there be things that I could do to allow him to work more? I was thinking of that image of a seesaw or the image of scales. And even if I add that to it, that tension of God working and how open am I to God working? What is the balance like in your life? Is God at work? Are you open to him working? And so this prayer of Paul's causes me to think, am I open to God's working in my life? Am I allowing God to have authority in my life? In this series in Thessalonians, we're asking ourselves questions. It's going well? So is it? Is it going well? And the very asking of that question, I think, is expecting the yes response. And so actually, what I think Thessalonians is trying to do, what Paul's trying to do, is push us deeper. And so take this to a deeper level. Let me ask this question to the depth within you, the mature side of you. How might God work within you? How might God work within you? I can't help but wonder if perhaps the very practice that Paul is using in this section is a hint to something, prayer itself. Because it actually causes me to take space to share my life with God, to talk, to listen, to seek. And there's also a posture, isn't there, when it comes to prayer, which is tied to prayer, but also bigger. How do I stand before God? How do you stand before God? How do I interact with God? How do you interact with God? What is my posture? Do I stand open-handed across all areas of my life? Or do I select a few and allow him to speak into those? Have I created barriers, or have I let my insecurities hold me back? I'm a bit late to the viewing on this one, but I started watching The Chosen on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm only a few episodes in, and it's, to me, really interesting how they portray Jesus. And I guess there was two things that have struck me so far in some of those opening episodes. First, his kindness. He comes across as deeply kind, a gentle, accessible, caring nature. It's really evident in how he interacts with children and adults. The kindness hints at the character that's beneath, a character that can be trusted, a character that is continually looking out for others. But there's another aspect that I noticed as I watched these episodes, and that's power, his undeniable power. When he speaks, things happen. He transforms people's lives with his words. In the opening story, it is the words of Jesus alone that usher freedom and release into a tormented woman when nothing else worked. Jesus carries an undeniable power. And as he commands, his power is not warped or manipulative. It is not destructive or ego-laden. It is an overflow of the one that he is. And even his power hints at the character behind, a character that can be trusted, a character that is continually looking out for others, but also an ability to change like nothing else we've ever seen. It's funny how a TV adaptation gets you thinking. For I know the power of Jesus. I carry these stories of healing the blind man, healing the man who couldn't walk, the woman who was bleeding. I carry the stories of water into wine, storms calmed, foods multiplied. I carry the story of not just submission to the cross, but the power and resurrection. I carry the stories of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We carry these stories. So perhaps this morning, in this short prayer of Paul, God is trying to remind us to see him and to realize the power that he is, what he carries, and what he gives away. Paul's prayer is that God would work. It's not that the Thessalonians would. That comes towards the end. He starts by asking God to work. And as I try and open up my thinking, our thinking this morning, can I push you to consider, how do you see God? What do you think of him? And perhaps that might influence how you live, especially how you interact with God. Are we leaning into his character and nature? Am I letting him be God? Not just in my life, but around me. It's about surrender to his kingship in my life. It's about trust, for he is indeed gentle and kind. And he is indeed profoundly powerful. And sometimes I am too aware of how little I know and how much I have yet to discover. And so I wonder if this is the reason that Paul stops and prays, that he ushers in the very power and presence of God, that he ushers in the very powerful presence of God. Of course, it's an overflow of his love for these people, but he's seeking the very transformative work of God to come. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of God the Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Oh God, would you make our love increase? Would it overflow for each other? Would it overflow for us? How was it that Peterson put it in the message? He says, and may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone. Oh, that God would make our love increase so that our lives would be full and they would splash over on everyone. Would you carry this prayer around this week? Would you repeat it for yourself? Would you repeat it for us? Oh God, would you make our love increase? Paul's prayer is that God would work. It's not that the Thessalonians would. We need God to work. The next section, may he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of God the Father. Strengthening of your hearts is a very Jewish expression. You've come across it before in the Bible and particularly in the Psalms. The heart needs strengthening. It's the core of you, the center, the source of your whole inner life, your thinking, your feeling. And so it's the source of your purposeful conduct. Paul prays that the very core of the Thessalonians would be strengthened. Again, this is a topic that Paul repeats across his letters. and we stop to consider the impact of strengthening, it's not a wonder. In Ephesians, he says, I pray out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And later on in Thessalonians, he says, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you're doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. It's not an easy path we follow as we tuck our lives in behind Jesus. And as we try and outwork his ways in our choices and our context today, it's not easy. So we need his strengthening. We need God to strengthen our hearts so we can appreciate the love that he is and he offers. So we can appreciate the knowledge that he is and he offers. So we can know with beautiful confidence that we can trust him. So we can have our eyes open to life both in the now and the future. This is the deep work that we need God to do within us. As the Message translation says, may you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God our Father, when the Master Jesus arrives with all his followers. Again, will you carry this prayer around this week? Will you pray it for yourself? Will you pray it for us? May we know his strengthening, so that you will know more fully the life to which you're called and equipped, and how beautifully he has clothed you for it. There's one more section, the PS, the one final word. We ask you, urge you is more like, that you keep on doing what we told you to do to please God, not in a dogged religion plod, but a living spirited dance. You know the guidelines. We laid them out for you for Master Jesus. God wants you to live a pure life. Will you live a spirited dance? As you walk in step with God, as you follow his lead, perhaps even as you allow him to do the leading in your life, will you live a life that is pleasing to God? It was my 30th birthday and we headed off to Donegal for the weekend. Great crack, beautiful weather, fantastic walks along beaches. And one evening I was kind of shooed out of the house. I don't really remember why. I'm guessing maybe that was kind of the party night and the preparing stuff. So three of us headed off in the car just to waste time for half an hour. I don't know why, but we ended up in a random hotel car park. And you know the way just as conversation goes from random topics, we thought it would be a really good idea to learn a dance routine. Now, in our presence, we have the Irish Latin dance champion. So we felt like we were in pretty good hands. So Chris starts to teach us this dance routine. I mean, what I don't have in talent, I brought enthusiasm. It was a hoot. Random car park, the three of us learning this routine. Following him, trying to follow him. Do that again, what are you doing? My abiding memory is him absolutely splitting his trousers, which was quite comical for the rest of the night. Yeah. You do not need to head to Donegal. You do not need to split your trousers. But you are invited to live a spirited dance. And I think what God is asking here is not perfection. You cannot get good without making mistakes. But he's asking for inclusion. He wants to be part of your life. He's asking us to let him lead and allow us to know more of the joy that he follows. In this letter from Thessalonians, we find this little nugget from Paul. This prayer reminding us today, we need God to work. Reminding us there are some things that only God can do. So let us pray this for ourselves and for each other. Let us create ways in our lives that allow God to work in us and through us, and maybe take advantage of space to pray. Maybe keep in check how we see God and how much of our lives we allow him to take the lead in.
I guess what I'm asking of myself, I'm asking of you, are we willing to go deeper? Am I willing to allow my life to be drawn into the life and the ways that God offers? You'll notice this morning, I have not suggested tasks for you to do or explore. Because as we follow this letter, there'll be areas that ask action of us. But this section has provoked me not to act, but to open my eyes to who God is, to see his power afresh, his transforming power in the world. That's the action I'd like you to consider, to think about how you see God and to consider afresh his transforming power at work in your life. Maybe that image of the scales or the weights or the balance might be helpful as you consider how you see God working and how open you are to him in your life. Is the balance right? Is God calling you deeper? How might you respond? How might you let God be God? What depths is he calling to? You know, I think we need this section. Thessalonians is asking lots of you. I think back to that challenge regarding integrity that Dave gave a few weeks ago. And last week, as Jamie challenged us on how we let the word impact us. As we step further into this letter, it will be asking for action and it will be asking for change, which is why we need this section. We need this small pause. We need this prayer of Paul's, which stops and asks us to remember we need God to work. We need God to usher in the transformation that only he can. Amidst all the action and challenge of 1 Thessalonians, we need moments like this to remind us we need God. We need his transformative power. We need God to work. I scribbled it down. I was caught by that line in one of the songs that we sang at the start, and it was, he is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Yes, being a disciple will ask things of you, but sometimes we need to stop and look to God and realize that we need him to work.